Hi, this is Sarah Wilson. I'm the assistant site editor for searchvirtualstorage.com. I'm here with Mark Peters, a senior analyst at Enterprise Strategy Group, and today we'll be talking about the concept of storage hypervisor. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for being here. So more and more vendors are branding their products as storage hypervisors. Are they all talking about the same thing?
Well, again, thank you very much for having me. Are they all talking about the same thing? I think the answer is yes and no. And, of course, that's a brilliant analyst answer. But let me explain what I mean. You'll be familiar, no doubt, you know, with the way that we do Latin taxonomy for many things. So, you know, you have Homo sapiens, where you have the genus and the species. And I think from a storage hypervisor perspective, before I get far too arcane here, we're talking, they're all in the same genus, but then the species varies somewhat. So at the genus level, for example, where they're the same, they're all, the easy way to think about what they're all trying to do is to do for storage what server virtualization did for servers. Now, there's one distinct subtlety here, which is, whilst many of the things they're aiming at in that respect are similar, with server hypervisors, if you think about it, the wonder of that was to turn one thing into many things, one big server into multiple virtual machines. With storage hypervisors, you're essentially doing the other. You're taking many disparate storage parts and combining it into one pool. So similar intent in terms of efficiency and so on, but different way of doing it. So that, if you like, is at the genus level, where really the answer is yes, they are talking about the same thing. Down at more of the species level, yeah, they're all abstracting storage management, but some do it very generally. Others are very, you know, tied to the virtual server environment. Some even talk the language of virtualization, like VMDKs instead of LUNs. Some grew from file systems. Some grew from original in-the-box storage virtualization and just got bigger. And I think, you know, as another distinct difference, we're also going to see more people trying again to virtualize the storage that is in servers without actually adding anything else as well. So that's another way of doing it. So at the genus level, lots of similarity. At the species level, considerable differences.
How would you define storage hypervisor?
Well, it's funny because I'm not sure there is an absolute definition that everyone has agreed. So, of course, like a good chap, I went and looked at Wikipedia and found something I'd written. But anyway, so that's kind of circular. But here's something that actually, again, was from Wikipedia, and it's a mishmash of a few people's opinions. I'm actually going to read it because I think it's very good at the genus level. This is not down to the species and individual components, but at the genus level. And what it says is, the storage hypervisor, a centrally managed supervisory software program, provides a comprehensive set of storage control and monitoring functions that operate as a transparent virtual layer across consolidated storage hardware pools to improve their availability, speed, and utilization. I said it slow so people can rewind and listen to it a couple of times. Now, I think at the genus level, that's very true. So what's key is all of these things are virtualizing and abstracting storage control and management out of the storage system itself and putting it in software. But then there are other things that perhaps are implicit in what I just said but really need to be drawn out. The better systems, the ones that people are going to, I think, coalesce around and use, those that are going to be adopted, have two other very important aspects. One is that they're heterogeneous. In other words, you can use multiple types of storage at once. That's obviously important. And secondly is they're agnostic. They don't really care what that storage is as long as it complies to basic standards. So what you're talking about with that heterogeneity, that agnosticism, and the abstraction of control is, if you like, whether it's internal or external, a cloud-like ability to deal with uncertainty and to be very flexible. And if you think about it, IT has moved from what, mainframes to distributed models, and now we've got cloud and virtualization. Storage went from DAS when it was mainframes to now in the distributed world, we've got a very networked, whether it's SAN or NAS or whatever. And really what's the whole storage hypervisor movement equates to is that more virtualized cloud aspect of managing storage.
Okay, so recently there's been kind of the same sort of disparity with the definition of software-defined storage. Do you think there's a difference between the storage hypervisor and software-defined storage?
So So I think it's a really interesting question, and I think, you're going to hate me, I think there can be a difference. I mean, again, when I talk about my genuses and species that I was talking about, so to try and make it very clear, by definition, you know, when you say software defined, it is a software product. And so to that extent, storage becomes like an app, if you like. When you say storage hypervisor, it could be just software, as I've been describing, but it can also, there are versions of storage hypervisors that can be reliant on a particular piece of hardware or a particular style of hardware. So they're not wrong, they're just different. So I think software defined is, by definition, software only. Storage hypervisors can be software only, but can also involve some specific hardware. In each case, everyone's aiming at the same thing, the flexibility and management that I've talked about. But I think this is just another prime example in our industry of where, you know, the semantics can get confusing. And so we need to be very careful whenever we use words like software-defined storage and storage hypervisors, much as we would be when we talk about cloud or flash storage or even thin provisioning. Those all, each of those phrases covers a multitude of different meanings. And so we need to be very specific. Hypervisor, as applied to storage, was a very trendy term because hypervisors, as applied to servers, was very trendy. For whatever reason, maybe it was too soon, there wasn't a broad adoption of storage hypervisors over the last few years. And so I think many of the vendors in that area and many of us commentators are starting to use the software-defined storage because, you know, it's the same sausage, new sizzle, if that makes sense in American.
Okay, so what would you say are the main benefits and drawbacks of storage hypervisors?
The benefits are many of the things we talked about. It's flexibility, agility, quality of service, one pane of glass, manageability, all those things. So call it a sort of cloud multi-tenancy type of way, whether you are genuinely using internal or external facilities. I talked about the heterogeneity and the agnosticism, which means you can have a meritocracy for what actual physical storage you buy. But the net of all that really just comes down to a couple of things. And it's all underpinned by getting cost manageable, getting costs down. At the end of the day, that's why people do things in storage. They may talk about the symptoms of performance and capacity and management, but at the end of the day, the cause, the real motivation is all about cost. So you get the cost down by using storage hypervisors because you get better utilization, more flexibility, only one management tool. Sometimes you speak the same language as the virtualization that you're using in servers, all those sorts of things. On the flip side, frankly, academically, conceptually, there's not much to really criticize. The challenge for those people, whether they call it software-defined or storage hypervisors, is that the whole concept is new, and our industry, IT or storage, whichever level you want to go to, tends to be fairly conservative. That's on the user side. On the vendor side, not all the big storage companies have yet fully embraced this concept. Some have, some haven't. And so that leads to, I think, some skepticism from some people or a fear that somehow if they go this way, they'll miss out on something. I think most of that, frankly, is unfounded because we'll see an increase in which the storage hypervisors have all the same features and functions that you're used to in your storage systems. But nonetheless, that lack of a standard approach and that sort of natural conservatism in the industry is probably the biggest con. But we're going to have to change something, as I did when I told you, you know, that the mainframe to distributed to today's virtual cloudy world clearly needs something parallel to happen in storage, and I think that's where storage hypervisors sit, and so we'll see more of this as we move forward.
All right. Well, I think that's all today, so thanks for being here, Mark.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
To learn more about storage hypervisors, make sure to visit searchvirtualstorage.com.